الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، بإذن الله تعالى، in the next day or two, we will be entering into the last 10 days of Ramadan. And inshallah, those people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives tawfiq to and who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selects will go into i'tikaf. And I want to remind myself and you, therefore, of the importance of this great sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which he practiced all through his life. And every year, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said that the reward of i'tikaf is that for every day of i'tikaf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes 3 trenches to be dug between the slave and Jahannam. The width of each trench is the distance between the heavens and the earth for every day of i'tikaf. So 10 days of i'tikaf is 30 trenches between the person and Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to take advantage of these great rewards. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first made i'tikaf. The purpose of i'tikaf was to search for Laylatul Qadr. Rasulullah ﷺ made i'tikaf in the first 10 days of Ramadan, and then he made the next year in the next 10 days of Ramadan, and then in the following year he made i'tikaf in the last 10 days of Ramadan, and then he said that Laylatul Qadr is in the odd nights of the last 10 days of Ramadan. One year, because Rasulullah ﷺ was on some expedition, he could not make i'tikaf, so the following year he made i'tikaf of 20 days to make up for the previous year. Now there is no qada of i'tikaf for us, and this was for the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but shows us the importance of this great sunnah. Now what is i'tikaf? I'tikaf is to confine yourself in the masjid, to enter the masjid with the niyyah of making i'tikaf. The masnoon i'tikaf, the i'tikaf of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Ramadan in a state of fasting and for the last 10 days of Ramadan, starting from the evening of the 20th of Ramadan. Starting from the evening of, that is from Maghrib of 20th of Ramadan till the time the moon of Shawwal is sighted, the Eid moon is sighted. That's the period of the masnoon i'tikaf. Of course, one can do as many days as one wants. Obviously, if something is so beneficial, then you would and should want to do it to the full extent. But for whatever reason, if you cannot stay for 10 days, then you stay for whatever time you can stay. Inshallah, may Allah give the person the reward. The purpose, as I said, is to search for Laylatul Qadr. And Laylatul Qadr is in the last 10, is the last, the odd nights of the last 10 nights or 10 days of Ramadan. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us Laylatul Qadr. What is Laylatul Qadr? As we know from the surah in the Quran, Inna anzalna hu fi Laylatul Qadr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about the Quran and he said that this was revealed and it was descended on the night of Al Qadr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Laylatul Qadr is khayrum min alf shahr. He said that Laylatul Qadr is better than 1,000 months. Better than 1,000 months, which means that the reward for Laylatul Qadr is more than the reward for 1,000 months of continuous ibadah. I won't even talk about the fact that this is not possible to do physically and so on. Obviously, we know that. 1,000 months, and also sometimes when this is translated, people say that Laylatul Qadr is equal to 83 nights. Allah did not say equal. Allah said, Khayrum min al-fisha. Allah said, better than 83 years, better than 1,000 months. So why do we restrict the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If Allah says more than 83 months, 83 years, if Allah says more than 1,000 months, then why do we say it is 1,000 months? Allah did not say 1,000 months. So more than, and when we say more than, how much more? More in keeping with the one who said it is more. So therefore, there is no limit to the reward of Laylatul Qadr. Now the beauty of the person who is making i'tikaf is that irrespective of which night that Laylatul Qadr may fall in, the person who is making i'tikaf gets it. Because that entire period of i'tikaf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treats it as ibadah. For the mu'takif, the one who is in i'tikaf, his eating is ibadah, his sleeping is ibadah, his actual worship is ibadah. As long as he does not ruin that i'tikaf by talking about the dunya, by wasting his time. And that's why we say in i'tikaf, make ibadah, read Quran, do zikr, pray nawafil. If you get tired, go to sleep. Don't waste time chit-chatting and so on and so forth. Just go to sleep. Your sleep is ibadah. But your chit-chatting is not ibadah. Your, hanging out with friends is not ibadah. Talking about the dunya is not ibadah. So we have to be very clear about these matters. Second thing to be aware of and to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for is the fact that when we come into the house of Allah, we are the guests of Allah. Anybody, if somebody comes to stay with you and you invited that person, he accepted the invitation, he came to stay with you, then he is your guest, right? And all his needs, the person whose responsibility is it to take care of the needs? The host, right? Your guest does not come and go into the kitchen and start cooking food and so on, no. It's your job, he is your guest, so it's your job to feed him, to ensure that he has whatever comforts he needs. And if he needs to go somewhere, then it is your job at least to offer to take him and so on. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who honors his guests more than anybody on the face of the earth can possibly do. So, when you are in i'tikaf, you are the guest of Allah. And it is very important to keep that in mind because of two things. First of all, guests also have certain duties. You can't go into the house of the host and then you start misbehaving or you start creating a nuisance. No. If you are a guest, the host has to look after you, but you also have to act according to certain adab. So, it's very important to understand what are those adab of the masjid, what one must do and what must not do. Inshallah, when we have time, we'll talk about them in detail. But today, just the overview, which is to say that those adab must be maintained. But second issue of the thing is that the guest, it's important to be aware that you are a guest because for the guest, anything the guest asks for, the host will give. This is the relationship of the host and the guest. The host will give anything that the guest asks for. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of hosts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls to his house to give. Allah does not call to take. You don't go to the house of Allah with something to present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like people do in other religions, they go and they take something for the God. We don't take anything. Our God does not need anything. Allah is samad. Allah is the one who gives. So we go to ask. So therefore, when you are in i'tikaf, please understand you are the guest of Allah. Allah has invited you. You came into the house of Allah. You are a representative of the Muslim Ummah who has been selected to go into the darbar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on behalf of the whole Ummah. So it's very important to understand this. You are not just an individual. You were selected. You were selected on behalf of the entire Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go into the darbar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are going to the king, the whole country does not go. You send representatives, right? You send your ambassadors, you send people who represent you to the king to ask for whatever favor it is. And here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Malikul Haqq. La ilaha illa huwa Rabbul Arshul Kareem. This is the shan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you come into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are a guest of Allah and you are a representative of the entire Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, keep that also in mind and ask dua for the whole Ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Third issue about i'tikaf, as I said, is the issue of dhikr, is the issue of nawafil, it's the issue of tilawat al-Quran. That's the reason why i'tikaf is something which is very personal. It's a very personal ibadah. Even though there may be many people in the masjid, that is, it is i'tikaf by itself is not a collective ibadah. The collective ibadah in i'tikaf is the for salat and so on. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi has permitted religious discourses, religious lectures, religious teachings, something to do with Islam, something to do for the benefit of Muslims. Otherwise, with Imam Ahmed and so on, it is not even permitted to do anything at all except for your individual personal ibadah and taking part in the Jamaat Salah, nothing else. Right? So, alhamdulillah, since the permission is there, you might have some programs and so on in the masjid, so by all means take part in that, nothing wrong with that, but that has to be restricted to religious thing. Obviously the program which will be organized will all be religious in nature, so there's no problem with that, but I'm just saying that don't then go and spend time doing some other things, right, doing some other things which have nothing to do with the with Islam. So i'tikaf is a special time that we must value and make the most of. That's the time to get your dua accepted, that's the time to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give. Spend a lot of time in tahajjud. In most masajid you will probably have qiyamul layl formally as well, but don't restrict to that, do more. The whole idea of going to the masjid is to do more, not only whatever is happening, alhamdulillah, that you take part in anyway, but do more than that. Final point of i'tikaf is to, as I said, the guest also has some responsibilities with regard to the place of the host, and that responsibility has to do with the masjid. One is the adab of the masjid, the cleanliness of the masjid, the purity and sanctity of the masjid must be maintained, and that is the responsibility of the people who are in i'tikaf. At no under no circumstances must the purity and sanctity of the masjid be compromised because you didn't pay attention to your own personal hygiene and so forth. Second thing is use of resources, use of water, use of electricity, use of air conditioning and so on and so forth. It is, everything is there for your benefit, everything is there for your convenience. By all means use it, but don't waste it. Many times you find people will come, will enter the masjid and turn on every light in the masjid. You know, they just run their finger over the light switches. It goes trrr, all the switches. You don't do this in your house. How come you do it in the masjid? Do you turn on every switch in the house when you enter the house? No. You conserve electricity because you are paying the bill. Now here, because in the masjid somebody else is paying the bill, you feel free to turn on every light. No. This is highly irresponsible and you don't do that. Very simple issues like how do you place your shoes? There are racks which are provided in most masajid, but the shoes are all over the floor. Why? The way you treat your property shows how, what you think of yourself. It's a question of self-respect. Your self-respect is demonstrated by how you place your shoes. If you throw your shoes everywhere, it means that you have no respect for yourself. So don't do that. You know, keep things in a proper place. Similarly, take the mushafs, the Quran, the masjid. People pick up the Quran, they read it, they play it, they put it anywhere. No. Responsibly, what you take, put it back in the place that you took it from. And finally, responsibility towards other mutakifin, other people who are in i'tikaf with you. Never use anything which does not belong to you. What belongs to you, what you brought belongs to you. Nothing else belongs to you. So don't pick up a Quran because it is there. No, if you didn't bring it, don't touch it. Because many times people are, they bring a copy of the Quran, they're reading somewhere, they have a marker there, now you take it, you remove the marker or whatever, and that poor fellow is in confusion. He does not know, how much he read, what he did. No, don't touch anything that does not, your shoes, Qurans or whatever, bedding, pillows, anything that is there which does not belong to you, do not touch it. If you need some desperate need to touch something which doesn't belong to you, go ask the owner, whoever it is, ask permission before you touch it. Do not touch anything with that. And finally, very important, question of sound and question of noise. Do not raise your voice, do not laugh loudly, do not talk, especially do not read Quran loudly when people are praying, when people are sleeping, because it puts the person who is sleeping in a very peculiar situation. He is sleeping and maybe he worshipped all night Allah Alam, he needs the sleep. Now you go and sit next to him when you start reading Quran. Now if if I tell him to keep quiet, then he is reading Quran. I feel hesitant, how can I tell him to shut up? So I tell you very clearly, say shut up loudly. There's no problem with that, because if he has no sense, why is he sitting next to you reading the Quran loudly? If there is a sin, it's on his head, not on your head. So don't do that. Make sure that you do not cause any nuisance, any inconvenience to your own brothers and sisters who might be, and the sisters if there is a place for i'tikaf in masajid. If there isn't, then of course, for the brothers who are there in the masjid, may ensure that there is no inconvenience to them because of whatever it is that you might be doing. So also with salah, if you're reading Quran loudly, somebody is praying, it disturbs his own recitation, it disturbs his own concentration, right? So don't do that. Read silently, or go and sit in a part of the masjid where you're not disturbing people and ensure that you do that. Final point before we close, every ethegab, every masjid will have and should have an amir who is overall in charge of whatever is happening in that masjid during the ethegab. It is the duty, it is absolute farz on everyone who is in ethegab to obey that amir, no matter who that amir is. Right? Your job is to obey the amir. Maybe you are older than the amir, maybe you are a great scholar, the amir is not a great scholar, maybe you are wealthier than the amir, it doesn't matter. You obey the amir, because the amir is the amir. Right? And this is part of our discipline. Whatever the amir says, you do. If he tells you go clean the toilet, go clean the toilet. No arguments. If he tells you pick up something, go pick up something. Right? Whatever the amir tells you to do, it is your job and your duty to obey the amir without question. And this is part of our own tarbiyah as Muslims, and that's something which is very important for us to understand and to keep in mind. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to make i'tikaf. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the full benefit of i'tikaf. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inspire us to praise Him and to ask Him for things which He wants us to ask Him for, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them to us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all our du'as with respect to ourselves, with respect to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially with respect to those people who are being oppressed and who are in difficulties. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable all the mutaqifeen in the world to make dua for them and to accept those duas and to remove those oppressors from over the heads of the people that they are oppressing. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to free the Muslims from all forms of tyranny, especially their own tyranny on themselves. Right? We are the only nation, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. We are the only nation which kills itself. You never hear this, you never hear of this with anybody else. We are the only people who slaughter ourselves. Sunnis killing Sunnis, Sunnis killing Shia, Shia killing Sunni, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Shame, shame, shame. And we like to talk to the whole world about the great beauty of Islam. Which beauty of Islam? Huh? Which beauty of Islam? The world is sick and tired of listening to people talking about the beauty of Islam. The world wants to see the beauty of Islam. Otherwise, the world tells us, shut up. You can't even look after yourself. Right? You kill each other. You're talking to the whole world about the beauty of Islam. Our Nabi came as Rahmatulil Alameen. He gave us the mercy to all of creation. And we are a burden on ourselves. We are not even a mercy to ourselves. Forget about other people. We are not even a mercy to ourselves. We should be ashamed of ourselves. We are absolutely ashamed of ourselves. It is haram, haram, haram to kill another human being. It doesn't matter whether it is Shia or Sunni or atheist or Jew or Christian or Hindu or whatever. It is haram to kill a person. You have no right, no one has any right to kill another human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question, will punish. This is what our religion tells us. What is the good of talking about the religion and not following that religion? We should stop talking about it. Talk about dawah, dawah here, dawah. What dawah? Go look at your face in the mirror before you go into dawah. We have to put our whole house in order. We are in a shameful situation. We are the only nation, I'm telling you seriously, we are the only people who kill ourselves. And suicide is haram in this religion. And we kill ourselves. We kill our own people. We don't need any enemies. We do not need any. We are our worst enemy. And I am saying all of this because I hope that this message will go across the world. In i'tikaf, think about this, reflect about this, talk about this, strongly condemn this wherever it is happening. And let us put our own house in order so that when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have got some standing before Allah. At least we tried our best to follow this beautiful deen of yours. Whatever we could do, maybe we could not do everything, whatever at least we could do, at least we should be able to say that much. Today, as a nation, illa mashallah, there are good people everywhere. I'm just saying, I'm talking about as a nation, we are in a state. Wallahi, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds us accountable, I don't know where we will go. So let us be very clear, use this time of i'tikaf for internal self-reflection, for looking at our own lives, for correcting our own society, for correcting each other, for correcting ourselves, so that at least by the end of Ramadan, when we go out for Eid, we are in a state which is better than the state that we entered the masjid in the time of i'tikaf. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to please with us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to do this. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.